which is God's master plan. And this is the third one in. So Simon started talking about God's blueprint. And so taking us back to Genesis, where it all begins in the Bible, and looking at the Garden of Eden, and just looking at some themes that God and a message from the Lord that God is setting up right at the beginning of, and he talked about three P's, which we've kind of kept going. So presence and power and partnership, that God right back in the garden shows us that he wants to be close to us. And the garden is a representation of future images of the temple. And we can see the garden in the temple as that gets revealed in the Old Testament. And we know now that because the Holy Spirit resides in us, we are all temples of the living God. So we get to carry God's presence. We see in Genesis that he comes as all-powerful in creation, in creating everything that we see. And that power is a life-giving power that multiplies and provides for us. And we see that all through the Bible, that God is providing for us through his amazing love. And partnership, God uses us to bring his presence and his power of love to others. And we get to connect with God that we might bring his authority into the earth. And last week we had Phil talking about, you know, God's amazing provision creation and all that we're given through him. And then ask the question, you know, what happens when we don't actually follow God's way? Because that's what we see next in Genesis. Even though God provided all this, humanity still kept saying, oh, that's great, God, but, you know, I have another way or another thinking of how I might live my life. And so often we can do that too and ask the question, well, what happens when we do that? You know, does God forget us? Do we miss out on his plan for us? Do we matter to God? Does he understand? And through the next 11 chapters of Genesis, we just see through the various stories that God keeps demonstrating his mercy and his grace and his provision, even though we keep turning away, and which is such an encouragement for us that God doesn't change. And today we're not looking at another overarching theme, which again starts in Genesis, and we're going to start looking in chapter 12. But it's going to speak to an issue that we often experience. And I guess I wanted to ask you the question today, you know, do you ever feel lonely? Do you ever feel disconnected? Loneliness is one of the greatest things that Australians face. Very much in the Western world. I think a lot of our choices or mindsets tend to set us up for that. You know, individualism, materialism, consumerism. We start to think about ourselves in our own lives rather than how we might be connected. And, you know, when we're in that place of loneliness, it doesn't feel right, does it? It doesn't feel good. Something's not right with our life. And we can feel that. And I think for us as Westerners too, we can learn a lot from other cultures. You know, many of the Asian and African cultures are very much about community and extended family. And it can be really quite a challenge, especially for international students. And I've worked with them for many, many years. And we have some beautiful international students with us still today. It can be a real challenge to suddenly be moved. You know, they get on they're in their own country with all their extended family and support, get on a plane, come to a place like Australia and get off, and it's suddenly very quiet. They're not surrounded by a whole heap of people. Their usual support networks aren't there. And so that can be a real challenge for students coming over to us. You know, and for us here in Australia, you know, as we grow older, if we've had children, you know, they grow up and they get their own lives and move away. And we, as older Australians, they experience more and more loneliness as well. And for the many of us that are single, for whatever reason, loneliness and isolation are a constant challenge to manage. And even if we don't fall in any of those groups, or maybe we do, you know, for all of us, we could be in a crowd. I don't know if you've ever been to a party or a big group of people or attending something for the first time. Maybe you've gone to university and you're the only one, you don't know anyone. You know, you could be surrounded by people but yet feel really lonely and disconnected. And the reason it doesn't feel great is the fact that God has made us, every human being, in his image. And God is a community of persons, God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, and has inherently made us all for relationship, deep, godly connection with others. To be connected in God's way for community. So that's great. So the thing that we know that we really need, we're actually made for that. And God designed for that to happen. And so as we continue in chapter 12, we see the unfolding of God's plan that he wants to build a people. And that's what we're really looking at today. And at the beginning, God speaks to a man called Abram. Now, Abram is a descendant of Shem. And if you remember some of your Noah's Ark story, Shem was one of Noah's sons. So when Shem steps out of the ark and they have children. And then Abram was one of Shem's descendants. And so we see that Abram is a result of a great rescue that God had with Noah's Ark. And that's written about, and very shortly after that, the story of Abram. And so from God's great rescue, God rescues us to bring us into his community. And we see God announcing his plan and promise of this to Abram in Genesis 12:2-3. And the Lord said to Abram, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So very clearly, God's plan was to build a people, a nation. And that would be distinct, because when he says great nation, that means large in number, a lot of people, so very significant. God's wanting to create a people that are very significant, but very distinct too from the other nations or the other peoples. And that people would experience his blessing. What another wonderful promise that all of us have, that God wants us to experience his blessing. But to do that so that we can then be a blessing to others. Not to hold it to ourselves, but God always wants his goodness, his blessing to be flowing out, and he wants to do it through his people. And we see in the Genesis story that this only can happen, it only comes about because of what God is doing. Nothing to do with Abraham, nothing to do with humans at all, but God wants to build a people, and it's nothing to do with us. It's his plan, his way. And sometimes that can look impossible to us. When God is saying this to Abram, he said, you know, leave your country and I'm going to into a great nation. Abram was 75 years old. So have we got a 75-year-old here today? Well, you're going to have lots of children. Whoa, is that right, God? My wife's pretty old too. Yet, you know, so God can do what seems absolutely almost ridiculous, impossible. And yet, if God says so, he can make it happen. And God asks him to trust him and his ways, the way that he wants to work. Because he said to Abram, you know, in Genesis 13, 16, I'm going to make your offspring like the dust of the earth. Wow, the dust of the earth, that's immeasurable. And so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Well, of course, you can't. So God is saying he wants to make a people that just dominate the earth in terms of its significance. Do you want me to change the microphone at all? Oh, okay. Great. So God does ask us to trust him because he spoke that to Abram when he was 75, and it actually didn't come about until he was 100 years old, and that's when he had a son, him and his wife. 25 years. Have you ever waited a long time for God to answer something that he's promised that he's going to do in your life? Sometimes it can seem to take a really long time. Yet God's timing is absolutely perfect. And so we can trust that God is at work even when it seems he's not. And, you know, for Abram, he might have thought, God, where are you? And he did feel like that. And he tried to do things his own way. But God is faithful in carrying out what he said he's going to do. If God said he's going to do something, he's faithful to do it. And Abram trusted God, and in doing so, he believed what the Lord had told him to do, what he'd promised, and the Lord credited it to him as righteousness. And that means that because Abram believed what God said he was going to do, even though it seemed impossible, God said, I see that. And to God, it was righteousness, which means I see that. And because of that, I can see you're in right relationship with me. You're connected with me. You're living the right way because you're living by belief in what I say, not what your circumstances are saying, but what I am saying. So that's, what a great challenge that is to us, because so often we feel like, God, my life, it seems like it's impossible. I need this to happen. I need that to happen. Do we believe that God can do the impossible for us, can come through, can work in our lives, that he wants to bless and multiply our efforts as we live by faith and to please him? Abram's trust and faith in God was an example to us of how to walk with God in this life. And we see that theme being picked up by Paul in his letter to the church in Galatia, because he said, consider Abraham. His name got changed to Abraham. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. So as we put our faith and believe in God, we are seen to be just as Abraham was. And the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So God was saying through Abraham, the Gentiles, which means who weren't part of the Israel nation, which is us, all those people who were to come, that us, as we live by faith, that we will be blessed. We're receiving that blessing. All nations will be blessed through you, and that we get to be a blessing as well. How amazing is that? Isn't it wonderful to see in God's magnificent story that's unpacked for us in Scripture, that He doesn't change. His beautiful plans and desires for us are consistent, and that He wants to build us into an amazing community for Him and for us. So Scripture keeps showing us that God moves or does things in a way we don't expect. And He keeps doing amazing things with Abram. He shows up and he has a dream, and God appears, and there's this floating pot and a torch and miraculous things. But that's God. He does things that we don't expect, and He works in ways we don't expect, and He shows us things in ways we don't expect too. So may our prayer be that we keep making room for God in our mindsets and our hearts about how He might want to move through you and how He might want to speak to you. Let's not limit God in how He wants to build us, His people. So God keeps revealing His plan throughout the Bible, and He reveals again the greatest rescue mission of all. We had Noah's Ark with Abraham, but the greatest rescue mission was when God put on flesh, came from heaven, put on flesh, and appeared as Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful for that, that He walked among us 2,000 years ago and took upon Himself our sin and died, but rose again to life, that our sins would be forgiven and that we have the promise of new life. And when that happened, and when people put their faith in Him, we are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into His glorious kingdom of light and love. How awesome, how wonderful, and we're so thankful for that. So that means that all of us here are saved in order to be His people for His purposes. Just as we saw in Genesis, they were saved to be a people for God's purposes. So we see this theme again appearing in 1 Peter 2:9. And Peter says to the church there, he says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light." So as we unpack that a little bit, it's saying you are a chosen people. What does that mean to be a chosen people? Well, we see earlier in 1 Peter, he talks about Jesus Christ being chosen. He's the true chosen one. In 1 Peter 20, it says that Jesus Christ was chosen before creation to actually come and die and redeem us from our sin. So Jesus is the truly chosen one. And as we put our faith in Christ, we're in Christ. So we too are chosen because we're in Christ. We're a chosen people. And then he talks, can we go back please? Then he mentions a royal priesthood. So royal, there's been this theme of kings and priesthood since Genesis. And with that kingship, kings rule, and they tell everyone in their kingdom what's going on. So we are now in Christ. And Scripture says that Christ ascended from death on the cross and is now at the right hand of God the Father, which is a place of authority. And again, we're in Christ. So we're in that place of authority, and we get to have that authority, spiritual authority, that we get to now flesh out on the earth wherever we go. And as priests, Priests come into the presence of God to declare his praise and bring glory to God. And we are 24/7 in God's presence. We are his royal priesthood. And a holy nation, a people set apart for God. And we saw right back at the beginning in Genesis, God said the same to Abram, I'm going to make you into a great nation. So we're a great people, a significant people set apart. To be holy is to be set apart for God's purposes. Not just to do our own thing, but God saved us, loves us, and we belong to him. And before we said yes to Jesus, and maybe you haven't quite said yes to Jesus, you might be here, and the Bible says before we say yes to Jesus, we're actually in darkness. We can't really see well. We can't really see the truth of what really matters. But once we've said yes, we move. Our address changes. We used to live in darkness, but now my address is now in the kingdom of light, and so is yours, which means you can really see who God is, really see God and his good plans. You start having a much greater awareness that you can actually say yes to that. So good to know that we are not alone. You know, loneliness is hard, but we're actually not. God, we would be his people to be with God and each other in his community, in his body and his family. And I always think, how fantastic. I really love it that when I said yes to Jesus, you know, that was a personal transaction that had to happen in my own heart. But when I said yes to Jesus, it didn't isolate me. Suddenly, I'm a part of a great family. Brothers and sisters, with all of you and with anyone that says that Jesus is Lord, and that is fantastic. You know, I found in my own experience that my brothers and sisters in Christ have been much more significant and closer to me than my own biological family, because they see a truth and walk a walk that is so dear and precious and important. And there's something that God does. He connects us deeply with one another. And so it's awesome. It's wonderful to be a part of his family. And, you know, as God brings us together, he puts us together. He builds us together his way. And earlier on in 1 Peter 2:4, it says, as you come to him, the living stone. So the living stone is Jesus Christ, rejected by men, but chosen by God. Again, chosen by God. Jesus is chosen, so we're chosen. And precious to him, you also. So what are we also? We're also chosen, we're also precious. Are like living stones, like Jesus, and being built together into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So what does that tell you? What does that tell us? You know, everyone here is like a living stone and being built together. It tells me that no one is overlooked. Everyone here matters. Everyone here matters. It's not about who's up the front or the leaders or anyone like that. You matter. And we can see again in Ephesians 4:16, again about coming together. And it says there, instead of being stones, now it's got the imagery of the body. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. So I don't know if you know much about the body, but those ligaments and everything really hold us together. We are deeply connected. That's God's desire for us to not have a superficial connection with one another, but being deeply connected. grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Wow. So again, you and I, everyone really matters, because what we do, or actually, and what we don't do, actually has consequences, because it's expected. God has made us that everyone has a part to play. You know, even if you, we all impact one another. You know, even on a Sunday, if you come in and think about, wow, I can actually help build others up. You know, maybe you might pray before you come and say, God, would you alert me to the one that just might need even a smile today, or just a bit of a conversation or a prayer. Even just turning up, great encouragement for other people. So what you do really, really matters. But I think in some of this, it's good to ask the questions too. Yeah, I really like church and want to be there. But sometimes it's tricky because church is made up of people and we don't always get along. What happens then? You know, what if there's disagreement or someone, you know, I don't like something, or the leaders do something that's really offensive. What do I do? You know, and some people in those situations leave church, leave God's community, His people, and they live life on their own and isolated. Well, as we look at Scripture, we can clearly see that that's actually not a good choice. That's not the choice that God wants us to make. And disagreement is a part of life. But the Bible is also so filled with strategy and wisdom that can help us through that. And we have each other as well, you know, other people we can trust in to reach out to help us in those difficult times. Another thought that some of us might have sometimes is, oh, I can hear God's voice. I've been walking with God a long time. I can hear His voice. He tells me what to do. I'm doing quite well on my own. I don't need to be with other Christians. You know, that can be a really dangerous thought too. Again, it's not God's plan for us. He wants us to be in community. And yeah, we do hear from God, and that's great. But as we share that and discern and work out things together, we actually get a bigger picture, a better picture about what God might have for you. And we can support each other in that. And I guess too, that's the other thing, you know, community, we get so much out of it ourselves. I get blessed time and time again, but it's not just about me or about you, but it's about a two-way relationship. It's about what we can give to others as well. So sometimes, you know, you might feel, oh, I didn't get much out of that service today. But Lord, I really pray that someone did. We'll bless them with that. And maybe there's something you can do to really encourage others that day. The word says that Jesus loved and died for the church. And He says He's building the church. The church is so very precious to God. And He asks that we might cherish and have His heart for what He's building as well, and to help Him build with Him, that the church might be so beautiful to God in the way that God intends for the community to be built. So I guess that invites us to a question too, you know, will we make God's priority our priority? Because it's pretty clear in Scripture of what His priority is. And the author of Hebrews recognises that when we try to make priorities, that there are many things in our life that can get in the way. Because in Hebrews 10:25, he felt to say this, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So it's saying, hey, I realise that there's a lot that can get in the way, but what decision are you going to make? What habit are you going to intentionally create and put in place? Because when the day approaches, that's when Jesus returns again, and he could come tonight, tomorrow. Who knows when Jesus is going to come? But while we're waiting, let's meet together and encourage one another, build each other up in our faith and our love for God. So let's keep doing that. Let's encourage one another. And today we're launching life groups, which is wonderful. And that's an awesome way, a great vehicle through which we can actually encourage one another. And just as we do that today, I just wanted just to briefly look at the passage from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 9 to 11. And just read that out, because this is a great verse as we look at what we mean by doing life in life groups. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, the great rescue story again of God redeeming us and restoring us. And he died for us. It's all God's doing. We can't do anything for this. So that our salvation is all due to Jesus and nothing of ourselves. So that whether we're awake, alert to what's going on, or not quite, a bit asleep at the wheel, that regardless, our salvation is secure, so that we may live together with him. So God wants us to live, and that word for live there is Zoe. It's based on that word, which is fullness of life, the real thing, true life. What the life that you're actually created for, that's the type of life that God wants us to live. And we do it together with him, that we may live together with him. Can we go back the other slide, please? So we can be confident all the time that we have fullness of life, and it's a life with him. Therefore, so because we have this great confidence, therefore, because we know that we have salvation and fullness of life to experience, because of that, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So, how wonderful. So our life groups then are all about life, the real thing, doing the real thing, true life, experiencing life the way that God intends us to do so. And we can only do that with each other as we connect. So as we launch the small groups, we've called them life groups for a reason. That we do life together, do the real thing. You can do the next slide now. And so that L-I-F-E can stand for living in fullness or freedom every day, and it's in Christ as we do it together. And I've been looking forward to launching the groups. I just have a real anticipation that as we really partner with what God's doing, that he's going to awaken in us this part of God's plan and purpose for us, this whole idea of community and of how we bless one another to be a blessing, and as we grow in our faith in him. So, Lord, we just thank you for your amazing plans. How awesome. And so as we do that, I'd like to introduce our life groups and leaders that we have thus far. So we'll have the first slide up, and we might get the life group leaders to come out. Oh, so we have Jeremy and Daniel, and awesome, yes, come up here. And they're going to be meeting on Thursday evenings, and they're going to be fortnightly, and they're going to start this week on Thursday in Seacombe Heights. And I asked all the group leaders to maybe just give me a little bit of a sense of their feeling for their group. And so what came back to me from these guys was strengthening faith through relationships and discussion. And their group's going to be a focus on young adults. So if you're in that category, check them out. And the next one, we have Simon and Merle. Actually, I might get you to stand at the front. Maybe get you to stand along the front. It might be in front of me. There's probably going to be more room, I think. Awesome. Come along this way a bit. Beautiful. So these guys, wonderful. We love Simon and Mel. They're going to be on Wednesday nights as well, but they're not going to start till April. And so get in touch with them. And you've got a flyer with you today, so you're able to contact these leaders to get more information. And for their group, they've said they want to go on a journey, discovering Scripture, how it applies, how it makes a difference to our lives, and how we live as people of the Spirit. Sounds exciting to me. Awesome. Wonderful. So next we have Natasha. Come on down, Natasha. Yay. And hers is starting this week on Wednesday in Seacombe Heights. And she's wanting to look at the idea of really truly living for God, going deeper into our relationship with God and recognising our potential or our giftings, spiritual giftings, how God's made us and his calling on our lives. Sounds fantastic. And last but not least, we have To Sung. So To's starting his on Sundays. In fact, they started today. And it's going to be here, and it's going to be before the service starts. And he's put up there to do life together and to discover life in Christ. And so his focus is more suitable for the pre-Christians and those who are new Christians, those who are seeking faith and growing in that. So wonderful. And look, for you guys, my encouragement, you stay where you are, for the rest of you out there, you know, there's lots of variety. And look, I would encourage you to sample. You know, feel free to visit to more than one group. Have a look around. But after a while, I would encourage you to choose a group and then continue with that group for the rest of the year so that you're really growing in that relationship with your group. And so do that. And the general focus as we start to, toes might be a bit different, but actually looking at what was talked about on Sunday and really going a bit deeper in the group and obviously praying for one another and exploring faith with one another. So awesome. How about we give these guys a round of applause, because I think it's really wonderful they've stepped up. But I want to pray for these guys, and I'm just wondering if you would like to, because they're wanting to lead you and guide you, whether you might just come up and come and lay your hands on them. I'll pray. But let's show our support and for them stepping out in this journey, because we think you guys are pretty awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there we go. Yep. All around, beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Whether you come to this church or not, whatever you like, you can lay the hands, because we just want to invite Holy Spirit. Lord, Holy Spirit, would you just come and fall afresh on Daniel and Jeremy, on Mel and Simon, on Natasha, on To Sung. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And, Lord, we want to release and increase faith in them today. Lord, would you move in them? Would you open their eyes to see your way, what you're doing, that you're wanting to do more than what they could ever ask or imagine or think. Lord, you open our hearts as well to flow with that as we grow together. Lord, give them a great sense of your adventure. Lord, to go and take them wherever it is that you're wanting to move them, Lord, and with the group too, that we might move with what you're doing. Lord God, yes, Lord, we want to say yes to you. And Lord, may their leading and the growth, these groups, Lord, move us into a time of growing, of growth that's not just addition of new people coming, but from multiplication as we as disciples grow, that as disciples we make disciples, that there be spaces for people that don't know you yet, Lord, that these are spaces that are safe, Lord, where people can come and explore and experience you, Lord. That as you have blessed these leaders and bless all of us, Lord, that have said yes to you, that, Lord, that these groups would be a wonderful space, Lord, for your blessing to flow out to impact others, Lord. So we thank you, God. We look forward with great anticipation, Lord. And would you just bless all these people, those that are leading, Lord, protect them. Lord, may they know that you walk closely with them. Lord, if there's anything in their life that's hindering their focus on you, whether it be ill health, whether it be issues and concerns, Lord, we bring those to you. We speak your healing. We speak your breakthrough, Lord, for whatever area they need that in, Lord God. Lord, that your spirit will be flowing through them. May they know the authority, Lord, that they have in you, Lord God, and bless them greatly. And bless us all, Lord, as we partner with you to see you build your people here at Marion Vineyard. And we give you all praise and thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Exciting. Woo. All right. Can I invite the worship team to come back? We're going to have a couple more songs before we go into a time of communion.